Okay, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to finish off a message I started a couple weeks ago, and we looked at this famous verse we use for teenagers, or we used it the day the teens came back from youth conference, this verse that we used to have in our youth room many years ago. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, we'll look at that as kind of the famous verse. We're looking at this idea of famous verses in context, the rest of the story that surrounds these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says this: "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." We've used this verse for years for teenagers to encourage them that even as a teenager, they should be an example in all these areas. And it's true, and it's not out of context, and that is a good way to use the verse. But that we looked at last week was, 2 weeks ago, was that this was written by Paul, the older preacher, to a younger preacher who was probably in his 30s. And back in the Bible time, in this culture, a youth was somebody probably 40 and under. And really the idea is not that as a teenager, this is a verse for you as a teenager to hold on to. The idea is this: age does not matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your stage of life is. Be an example of the believers. And that's the idea. And so we kind of look back, even if we looked up a few more verses, to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, to kind of get the idea of this passage. It says this: "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And so the idea there is, this is how you minister well. This is how to, and the word minister there doesn't mean pastor. It doesn't mean preach. It means serve. Serving well. All of us, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to service. The Christian life is a life of service. Jesus served his disciples. Jesus served us when he died on the cross for our sins. And we're to follow his example. So all of us, everyone in this auditorium, young to old, are called to serve well. And so these verses have deep meaning no matter what age or stage of life you are. And the question I want you to ask yourself today is, am I serving well? Am I serving biblically the way I ought to be serving in the body of Christ as a child of God? Am I serving well? So verse 12 is just part of the instructions. And we looked at that last time we met, that serving well means leading by example. So that's our first point, our first idea, the first thought here, verse 12. Serving well means leading by example. It's an old saying that your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. In other words, your example says more than your words. And it's true. And so when we say one thing, what do we call someone who says one thing and does another? A hypocrite, an actor, someone who's playing the part. And here, the emphasis is the other way: be an example. Be an example in how you live your life. And it gives all these categories. We're not going to go through all those, but how you live your life in conversation and word. Are you living an example of Jesus Christ? That's how you serve well. So doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a bus worker, if you work on Wednesday night, if you are an usher at the door. It doesn't matter, or if you have no like official position in the church. Doesn't matter. You're called to serve well by being an example. All right? And so that is number one. So we'll look at number two. We'll look at verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul, again, writing to Timothy, the younger preacher, "Till I come," he says, "give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Can I say today, serving well means paying attention, he says. Give attention. Attention is something that you give. As a youth pastor, I used to always try to demand attention. Hey, listen up here. Hey, look, pay attention. Hey, stop fooling around. Stop goofing off. Pay attention. Attention is something that you can try to demand, but it's really something that you give. You come to church, and you ought to give your attention. I was over with the young classes today, and I was trying to help and make sure the kids are learning to give their attention. So it's something that you offer, something that you give. And so Paul's saying to Timothy, you want to serve well? Well, give your attention. Start paying attention to these things. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It all has to do with your focus. What are you focusing in on? Left to yourself, itself, the mind will wander. Does anybody else mind wander in church? Don't raise your hand. Because we all do. Have you ever found yourself like, why am I thinking about that now? Well, and we can blame the devil if you want to. I mean, I'm not saying it's not part of his job, but it's you. It's me. Our minds wander. We have to focus ourselves. Make yourself pay attention. Make yourself focus. I was watching a basketball game, and I saw a guy at the foul line getting ready to take a foul shot, and behind him were hundreds, if not thousands, of fans right there trying to get him to focus on anything. I saw a video of a guy there actually acting out the birth of a baby behind the backboard just to try to get, they're trying to get him to focus on anything else but the backboard, right? The rim. They're just trying. Then the devil will want you to do it. Things will come up. Things will come to your mind. It will happen. But Paul says to Timothy, you want to serve well? Give your attention. Pay attention to reading, which is the reading of the Word of God. And I think, honestly, if I'm being honest, that as Paul instructs Timothy, I think these are both public and private instructions. So I think he's telling them, when you're preaching, give attention to, you know, reading, exhortation, and doctrine. But in your own life, on a personal level, give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. All right, so I think this is for all of us. It's not just for a pastor. Oh, a pastor's supposed to read and read the Bible. Yeah, but so are you, right? You know, exhortation, that's the pastor's job. Well, it is the pastor's job to exhort. The word exhort means to challenge, to encourage. It really means to call alongside, to help somebody along. We had an episode here, and if someone gets hurt, we have people help. I was watching, a football game. When a guy gets injured, what do? They call these two big guys off the sideline, and they put one arm around each other, and they're called alongside to help him to where he needs to go. That's exhortation. You're called alongside each other to help each other. And so the pastor is called to exhort from the pulpit, hey, let's get busy. Hey, let's be serving well. Hey, let's do this together. Hey, this is what the Bible says. We're exhorting. We're trying to challenge. We're trying to encourage. And all of us are involved in this. You want to do what God wants you to do. You want to serve well? Exhort one another. Give attention to reading, to exhorting one another, to doctrine. Knowing what you believe and studying that out. Understanding good doctrine and teaching. And then teaching others. Discipleship, discipling others is the job of every member of the body, right? All of us are called to teach and mentor other people. It doesn't have to be a formal class where you're like, okay, every Tuesday from 7 to 7:30, I am going to mentor you or disciple you. But you have kids, you have grandkids, and talk about parenting. And the biggest job of parenting is discipleship, training them to the next level. And so we're called, give attention to these things privately and publicly. Make yourself purposely focus your mind on these things. How do you serve well? Be an example. How do you serve well? Pay attention to the things that are really important. Reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Number three, look at verse 14. These are all commands. These are all instructions from Paul to Timothy. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, I really believe when talking to Timothy, he's talking about the gift of pastoring and his ministry gifts. I think that's what he's talking directly to. But many of you, most of you, are not called to pastor. You're not gifted in that area. God hasn't put you in that position. But the idea is we all have a gift. You want to serve well? Use your gift. Start using your gift. Serving well means using your gift. What's your gift? Figure it out and use it for God. That's the idea of this passage. The word says neglect not. The word neglect means to be careless with, to make light of. I got nothing really to offer the church. I'm not a preacher. I don't want to teach. I have nothing to offer the church. You know what you just did? Neglected your gift. You made light of what God has given. God has given you a gift, and you need to identify your gift, and you start using your gift, you're going to serve well. It is a shame. It is a shame that in a church that there is any need whatsoever. I heard a preacher say one time that God does not allow a need to exist in the midst of an obedient people. It's a pretty powerful statement. I've obviously remembered it for decades. God does not allow need to exist in the midst of obedient people. What is God giving you the gift to do? And what are you doing with your gift? That's how you serve well. And there are spiritual gifts tests that you can take. And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just saying we can figure it out. Try something. If you don't like it, try something else. But be involved. Be active in the body of Christ. From ushering, greeting, cleaning, ministering. We're going to hand out some stuff in our neighborhood on the 24th. Maybe you have the gift of gab. Some of you do. If you don't know if you do, ask your husband or wife. They'll tell you if you do or not. And maybe you're okay with that. I'd love to go. I had no problem talking to a stranger about that. Some of you say, that is not my thing. It doesn't have to be everybody's thing. We're all called to be witnesses, but not all of us are called to go to every door in the neighborhood, right? But use your gift. How are you using your spiritual gift? Find the outlet. Growth happens when you exercise your gift. Your gift grows. We have a men's workout group. We have a ladies' workout group now. You know why? Because when you exercise, that's growth, right? And so, as you exercise your spiritual gift, it will cause you to grow and your gift will grow. So serving well means using your spiritual gift. Shame on us if God's given us a gift to glorify him and we keep it to ourselves. Shame. Shame on us. And let's not play the humble part of I don't know what my gift is. I have nothing really to offer. That's not true. That is as untrue as any other statement you can make. The Bible says you have a gift. The Bible says, God says you have a gift. And so if you say, I got nothing to offer, that's untrue. Cast down that imagination. Cast it out of your mind and start saying, what does God want me to do with my gift? And some of you are so gifted and you use your gift and nobody ever knows about your gift because it's not a public gift. It's a private gift. That's how the church rolls. That's how the church grows. And so find your gift. Use your gift. Thank God for your gift and use your gift to glorify him. That's how you serve well. Serving well means using your gift. And Paul says to Timothy, don't neglect that. Don't count that as a small thing. Don't leave that on the side. Use your gift for my glory. All right, look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Serving well means meditating purposefully. The biblical idea of meditating is a powerful, powerful exercise. It has nothing to do with crossing your legs and folding your arms and humming to yourself. It has zero to do with that. The word, when we get meditation in our mind, we think of something different. That word has been stolen. The King James uses the word meditate over and over and over and again. And we understand that means to ponder. It means to murmur. It has the idea of going over something over and over and over and over again. Listen to what I'm saying. If you can worry about something, you can meditate on something. Worrying is the wrong side of the coin of meditating. You're going over and over, what could possibly go wrong, what could possibly go wrong, what could possibly go wrong. That you take that and you flip that, you're now meditating on how God can use you, how God can change things, and taking the Word of God and thinking through it over and over and over again. You all know how to meditate because we all know how to worry. We all know how to stress. It comes natural to us. But making ourselves now, filling ourselves to the point with the Word of God so that becomes our thoughts become biblical. And as you start thinking the wrong way, you make yourself start thinking. You sit around thinking, I have nothing to offer the church. Wait, that's not true. The truth is, God's given me a gift. Now start meditating on that rather than, I don't have anything to offer. Woe is me. Go the other direction and start using that. It's a very powerful tool. In fact, Paul says to Timothy, if you meditate on these things and you give yourself wholly to them, what's going to happen? Your profiting will appear to all. It'll be very clear that you're doing something different. There's growth. I've seen you grow and I've seen you change spiritually. If you're ever on a diet or you're trying to lose weight or you start exercising, it's encouraging to hear someone say like, hey, are you losing some weight? Hey, have you been working out? You know, no one ever says this to me, but it'd be nice to hear once in a while. I mean, it'd be encouraging. If you're trying to make a difference, it's encouraging when someone recognizes that. You know what Paul says to Timothy? Don't worry about that. Just meditate on it. Make your mind work on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, and people, your profiting will appear to all. It'll be evident that you're walking and talking and spending time with me and with the Lord, and the Word of God is becoming part of your life. And so serving well means meditating purposefully. Do you have a time? Do you make yourself, when bad thoughts come, do you force yourself to start thinking a different direction? That's called meditation. It is connected to the word murmur. You know, the word murmur means to complain over and over and over and over again. And so we can complain about things over and over and over and over again. Guess what? We can meditate over and over and over again. And so it's taking that negative and turning it into a positive, and that's how you serve well. Verse 16. The Bible says, take heed unto thyselves and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Serving well means examining yourself. Self-examination. Being honest and open with yourself. Turning off all distractions and focusing in on your walk and your relationship with the Lord. Take heed. Take heed to yourself. It's one of the most valuable exercises for a growing Christian. How am I doing? How's my relationship? Again, here's what we do. We're not good at self-examination biblically. We're good at analyzing ourselves in connection to somebody else. Well, I'm doing better than them or not as good as them. We're great at that. That comes natural to us. And God says, forget that. Take heed to yourself. Jesus Christ is our example. Jesus Christ is our measuring stick. Not anybody else. And so self-examination will help us grow. At the end of each service, Pastor Yeomans will say, let's bow our head and close our eyes. We're going to play some music. You need to make a decision for the Lord. Sometimes we have people stand. Some people we have come forward. What different things. But always the idea. Every message, every lesson, every biblical time we open the Word of God, ought to say like, okay, let me examine that. Let me see. So today, I challenge you. Ask yourself some questions. Am I giving attention to the reading, the exhortation, and the doctrine? Am I using my spiritual gift, or have I let that aside and left it on the shelf for a while? Am I meditating on things and seeing real growth in my life? Because or am I so focused? Am I worrying more than I'm meditating? Am I complaining more than I'm meditating? Because if you don't take time to personalize the Word of God, and we come here, and we sit here, and we have our little snacks, and we go our way, then we've just wasted our time. Because God says, examine your life in light of what the Bible says. And so, Paul says to Timothy, serving well would mean to examine yourself. And so, if you do that, guess what happens? You save yourself. I mean, there's growth. Salvation comes when we know, we acknowledge our need, we examine ourselves, hey, I'm a sinner, I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and even saving us from heartache when we get rid of sin in our life. But other people are affected. And then they hear thee. You want to have an impact in the life of people. Do you want to someday hear the Savior say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Well, I'm not a preacher. It doesn't matter. I'm not real outspoken. I don't care. I'm kind of introverted. Who cares? What's your gift? You can meditate. You can grow. You can evaluate self. You can read your Bible. You can study doctrine. You can influence. The Bible here says if you do these things, you'll save yourself and those that hear thee. And your property may be apparent to all. Man, what a challenge. What a list of things that that Paul says to Timothy. Hey, Timothy, you're doing a good job as pastor. You're in your 30s. Let me tell you how to be a really good minister. It's not like, I don't know that Paul ever said to Timothy, like, what's your organizational flow chart of the church? I don't think, not saying that that's important. I don't ever see Paul saying that. He did say, like, appoint deacons, appoint elders. Like, there's organization. What he's concerned about is his individual walk with the Lord. If you do these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You'll serve well. Hey, teenager, be an example of the believers in word and conversation. Yes. But I say to you adults, I say to myself, be an example. Give attention. Meditate on them. Self-evaluation. Use your gift. In doing that, you'll be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? No one looking around. Very clear message from Paul to Timothy that applies to us. Right now, there's a battle going on for the attention in your mind. Will you give attention to doctrine and exhortation and reading? Today, I read the Bible to you, I exhorted you, and I try to teach you what the Bible says. Will you put your attention on that? At the same time, will you evaluate yourself now in light of what the Bible says? There are some of you sitting here today, I know in your heart, you know I'm right. You are neglecting the gift that God has given you. You have not fully exercised the gift that God's given you. And God's speaking to you. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You have not meditated on the Word of God. You're a good worrier, but a terrible meditator. And I know, because natural. But maybe God's saying to you, hey, you need to start meditating. You need to start focusing on me. If we in this time of self-evaluation will sit and listen to the Holy Spirit always does his job. Always. His job is to convict. His job is to guide. His job is to teach. And he's doing it right now. Will you give attention to the Holy Spirit and make decision? If you do, your profiting will appear to all. You'll save yourself and others. You'll have an impact, and God will use you as you serve well. What a challenge. More so than just a teenage verse. It's a challenge to all of us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us as we digest what your word says as we go our separate ways. I know we have things planned today and different events and activities, but Lord, may we set aside time to sit alone with you, let you work in our heart. I pray that some would be convicted in the areas of their life where they need to grow, and we would see real growth in our life as we give ourselves wholly to your word. Thank you for the challenge of 1 Timothy chapter 4. In your name we pray. Amen.